Earlier this week, Nicolas Sarkozy announced that his country would be changing the way it measures its economic output. Joining me now to explain how the French government plans to change its formula for calculating GDP and what it will mean for the country's economy is Ben Hall, Paris correspondent for the Financial Times. I'm very pleased to welcome him to today's Second Underreported. Hello.
Hello.
So how is gross domestic product typically calculated?
Well, at the moment, it's a fairly narrow measure of market activity at market prices. And there is a lot of academics, but also politicians and statisticians and who think that the problem with it is that, well, there are too many problems with it, but one, only counting market activity excludes lots of other activities. And secondly, you need to know what is a correct market price. And I think they would say, in particular, the financial crisis has shown that it's very easy to overestimate market prices. And in fact, perhaps the market prices of financial activity over the last few years have been completely exaggerated. Perhaps they were bubble prices rather than real prices. So that's one set of arguments. And then there's a sort of another set of arguments, which is that it's a very narrow measure, and it's really only about, as I said, the market aspect of the economy. And actually, what's happened is that politicians in particular have begun to use it as a be-all and end-all of government policy, whereas, in fact, it's really only a stepping stone to a much higher goal, which is the happiness of its citizens.
Well, is it calculated pretty much the same in every country?
Pretty much the same, according to a pretty much agreed international definition, correct.
So the French are now going to break that standard?
Well, they haven't quite gone that far. What they have decided to do is, following this voluminous report produced by Joe Stiglitz and various other eminent economists, they've asked, President Nicolas Sarkozy asked the country's statistical agency to examine ways of implementing it. So I imagine it's going to take them several years to figure out how to actually do that before they actually put it into practice.
Well, how did Joseph Stiglitz get involved in all of this? He's an American economist.
Well,
and a rather liberal one, and Nicolas Sarkozy is a conservative politician in France.
This is the wonderful paradox. Nicolas Sarkozy came to power with a slogan which was, work more to earn more, and with one overriding objective, which was to lift France's underlying growth rate from 2% a year to 3% a year. So these were precisely the kind of narrow economic objectives that this report is trying to get away from. And yet he was converted to the idea. Why? Well, there are various reasons. One, and why did he choose Joe Stiglitz? Well, Joe Stiglitz is a sort of a darling of the French left and anti-globalization movement. And I think Sarkozy thought that if he could embrace the kind of embrace Stiglitz, it would score him political points at home. It also may be because Mr. Sarkozy's actually had a change of mind and he's no longer the sort of deregulating free market buccaneering president that some people thought he might be when he was elected.
Well, Joseph Stiglitz wrote an op-ed piece in your publication, The Financial Times, last week, in which he argued that the way GDP is calculated now presents a number of trade-offs. One can improve the environment only by sacrificing growth. So this sounds to me like a complete turnaround for Sarkozy. It seems to be suggesting that worker happiness it can only be achieved if you don't work much harder, the sort of thing that we've been seeing from France for years.
Well, in a way, it is a truism, because if you look at GDP per hour worked, France and the US are very, very similar. The big difference in overall GDP can be accounted for by the fact that the French take enormously long holidays. And arguably, what Mr. Sarkozy is trying to do with this project is incorporate those things that the French are particularly good at, like leisure and like a high quality of life, and they have a very, very good health service, for example, here, and incorporate those into the general kind of GDP picture, which would then raise France's, the measure of France's economic performance, if you like.
As Stiglitz has said that the new GDP will have an increased focus on sustainability. Is that important to take into account as the world tries to tackle climate change, for example?
Climate change would certainly be one thing, and I think they also mean sustainability in a kind of economic sense. And one of the arguments in this report was, well, look at America had a pretty high GDP growth rate, but maybe that was because it was being turbocharged by an unsustainable financial bubble. Maybe we need a measure of GDP that can somehow take into account whether growth is really sustainable or not. But I think certainly on the environmental front, the idea is to be able to have, include in GDP, some kind of measure of your environmental assets. So when you deplete them, that can be reflected in your GDP. So just pumping the oil out of the ground doesn't just simply raise your growth as measured by GDP, but maybe you should also reflect the fact that your oil stocks are going to go down.
My guest is Ben Hall, Paris correspondent for the Financial Times. We're talking about a new French GDP formula that's been proposed in our second underreported segment. President Sarkozy has said that the world has become a cult of figures. But isn't that the point of economic data?
It is. I think what he meant by that was that the world had become hostage to one figure, GDP, and that single sort of metric of prosperity and well-being. And I think behind it is a typical kind of Sarkozy criticism against Anglo-American capitalism, which has all been focused on raising your growth rate through deregulation and economic reforms and boosting the financial sector. The irony, of course, as I said, was that this is what Sarkozy himself seemed to represent at the beginning of his term.
Is he being inspired at all by things that have happened in Asia? Bhutan has a measure called gross national happiness, and 2 years ago, Thailand announced that it was developing a green and happiness index.
Well, these countries are certainly the forerunners in the sense that they are putting those indices into practice. But arguably, the project that Sarkozy has embarked on is far more ambitious because he wants to actually rewrite GDP itself and the GDP definition, rather than as well as coming up with an additional index on happiness. So I think that's a much bigger challenge, and I think it's going to take a very, very long time to actually put it into practice.
And the committee that's come up with it was formed before the financial meltdown. Do we know if the changes in the economy have had an impact on the outcome? Would switching formulas boost GDPs in countries that have been hit hard by the recession?
Well, I think more to the point, one of the arguments in this document was that perhaps we shouldn't include financial services or fully include financial services in the calculation of GDP, because at the end of the day, banks lend money to businesses and individuals to go and do other things with. And actually, maybe essentially we're double counting the money here. Finance is an intermediate service. It's not a final good, a final result, if you like, of the economy. And I think one of the arguments, one of the effects of this change proposed by this document would be essentially to shrink the size of the economies that have been heavily dependent on finance, in particular the US and the British economy, and conversely to increase the size of those economies that have been less dependent on it, especially if you take into account all of those other things that we've been talking about, like France's leisure and its high-quality public services, into the measure of GDP.
So the French GDP would go up, and following these measures, the English and the American would go down.
Correct.
Even further.
Correct. And there was one.
How nice for France.
One interesting argument they used in this was that the Americans spend 50% more than the French on health, and yet most international comparisons suggest the French health system is better. So maybe what you should do is measure your health not by the money you put in, but by the outcomes you get out. And if you did that, you would essentially remove the difference in GDP, because if America spends 15% of GDP on health and France spends 11%, then you can immediately subtract 4% of the gap, which is about a third of the gap.
On the other hand, will a more holistic approach to GDP be more helpful for economists?
Well, I think it could be more helpful, but I mean, it all depends on whether you have universal and reliable statistics. And the one not so much a flaw in this report, but certainly a big question mark, is whether there really is, whether there really are reliable statistics to judge all of this kind of stuff. And when you get into more objective kind of calculations and estimates, these things can always be challenged. And I think that's going to be the real challenge, is coming up with some sort of hard numbers that everybody is happy with.
Have there been attempts to change GDP formulations in the past?
They have been updated. But I think one argument for this big change is that the updates, if you like, haven't kept pace with changes in the structure of the economy, and particularly with globalization, because, of course, GDP measures production within national boundaries. It doesn't necessarily record profits that are exported abroad. So that, of course, for example, oil or copper that's then just exported straight out of the country. And it doesn't record income that comes in the form of profits from abroad, which, of course, is increasingly important for a lot of countries in a globalized world.
France is hoping that other countries will adopt this new approach. How effective would a new GDP formula be if other countries don't adopt it?
Probably not very effective. I think France would like to lead by example. That's certainly what Sarkozy is hoping. And I think, I certainly think in Europe, the debate is moving in this direction. You get the impression that from political parties across the continent that the debate is moving away, even in a time of crisis, in a way, is moving away from growth to quality of life. Once we have an economic recovery, I think quality of life is rising up the political agenda as an issue. And I think in that sense, there will be some political support for a generalized switch.
Well, we have just 15 seconds, but the G20 will be meeting next week in Pittsburgh. You think that this will be a topic of discussion?
Possibly, but I think they have big enough issues to deal with next week. And I can't imagine they'll get sidetracked on what is actually a fascinating academic debate, but one that's perhaps not the priority for right now.
Thank you so much for talking with us on today's Underreported. Ben Hall, Paris correspondent for the Financial Times.
Thank you.
On tomorrow's show, House of Cards author William D. Cohen revisits the week the global economy imploded, and then a look at subway art in New York City, from graffiti to public installations. Also, curator Walter Liedtke discusses a new exhibit of Dutch paintings that are at the Met and feature a very rare visit by Vermeer's masterpiece, The Milkmaid. Plus, our latest Please Explain is all about trees. The Leonard LoPage Show is produced by Blakeney Schick, Stephen Valentino, and Julia Corcoran. Melissa Egan is the executive producer, and we had help today from Adam Delahanty, Fran Jacobs, and contributing producer Virginia Doris. Debbie Fountain was at the audio controls. I'm Leonard LoPage, your host. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.